Doesn't that make you feel wonderful that there's a commandment to love one another? What a great God we have that wants us to know love. And that's the message that everyone in the world needs to hear. And we know it. We have the treasure of knowing Jesus Christ, and he commands us to love one another. Before I forget, I want to let you know that we have the cross here with the white shroud draped over it continually until June 8th, which is the coming of Pentecost, right? The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost, so we will be having this cross displayed this way. I mean, we can always have the cross, but we leave it here expressly for that purpose, to remind ourselves of Easter and of what Jesus has done for us. And then he ascends to heaven, the Holy Spirit comes in power, and then we celebrate that Jesus is ruling the world in heaven, which he is now, and that the Holy Spirit lives within inside of us. And so God makes that connection with us that way. So that is the reason that we have the cross for today. I also want to point out the other cross that was so lovingly provided by Alfred and Pat. This really is a wonderful symbol for loving one another, and also for the church and the body of Christ and his disciples, you know, holding hands. And it's all because of the cross. We're brought together in the body of Christ because Jesus died for us and brought us together in his church. So that's a beautiful symbol for us. Thank you so much for providing that. And love one another is a great theme for a church theme, I think, too. But anyway, so we're going to be looking at this today, and I want to let you know that I was actually planning to say a lot more, but I've felt that it's not necessary and that I can break this sermon out into more than one sermon, so that we can concentrate on what I think God really wants us to hear in his word today, in connection with this commandment to love one another. Jesus said, I have a new commandment for you, to love one another. So the first question you would have is, like, what's new about that? If the Bible says to love one another throughout from the beginning, the Old Testament, love was spoken about in the law, in Deuteronomy, right? And God shows his love, and it's inherent throughout all of the scriptures. So why would Jesus say, I give you a new commandment? Well, it's a really good question, and there's different opinions on it. But I think, you know, when we were reading in the in Revelation today, in that verse from Revelation that Alfred was reading to us as a call to worship, says, I make all things new. And that, to me, I just got kind of goosebumps just saying that, because I really feel that that is something that we all need to remember, that we are new creatures in Jesus Christ. The old has passed away, right? We had a baptism, Molly was baptized, the old has passed away, the new has come. It's a new child of God, right? And each one who is baptized into Jesus Christ, right? This is what happens there. We're made new, but there's all kinds of implications of this newness, right? And so when Jesus was saying, I have a new commandment to you, he really, I think, you know, some people feel that he was saying, I want you to renew yourself in that old commandment that has been with you. And I think that that's a good way to think of it. But the Lord put on my heart even more than that, I think, is that everything that we have associated in our lives with Jesus makes us new. It just, we are slowly, you know, it's not all at one time, it's over time, but we are being renewed every day in our walk with Christ. And that's exciting, isn't it? I mean, especially when you feel like something happens that isn't so happy, and then you have that confidence of knowing that God has made all things new, which means that situation that you're going through can be made new in him. You know, those are the kind of things that I think are inherent in what he's talking to them about. But he's really specifically speaking to the disciples, because he's going to be leaving them. And he wants them to remember the things that he has taught them and the things that they have learned from him, and that he is going to show them in the cross, right? And so what I thought we could do today is we could take a look at one thing that Jesus taught his disciples that helps us to hear that message of newness in a way that he spoke about love. And This is what it is. In Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, he taught them these words. You've heard that it was said, something old. You've heard that it was said. This is from verse 43, Matthew 5:43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You must therefore be perfect as your Father, Heavenly Father, is perfect. So is this old saying, you have heard, and there's no writing in the Bible that says you're supposed to love your neighbor and hate your enemies. What Jesus is saying is that you have misinterpreted things in the Bible to understand it that way, but actually in your minds and your hearts, you're thinking, I can love my neighbor, but I can hate my enemy. And he's saying, actually, love your enemies. Love your enemies. And in that, you will be able to really understand what love is about. Because what good is it if you love people that like you and you like them? It doesn't really show that much. I mean, it's still good. But you're really going to show what love is about if you love someone who's your enemy. Amen? So Jesus is teaching his disciples and showing them throughout all of his life about this concept of love and doing things that are very hard for us to relate to, you know, and it was the same thing at that time. These were people who were living at a time that were, it was a very volatile time, right? And Jesus himself was hated. He had enemies, right? You agree? He had enemies. But you know, we've talked about this before, everyone who sins against God is an enemy of God. So it's really incorporating not just those people who are enemies, but it's everyone in the human race because we have sinned against God. We've disobeyed him, right? We have professed a love for another God or the world that we live in and turned our backs on him. And he's saying, love your enemies because I love you. I love you guys. You are the ones who have said to people and have done things in the way that you live that you're not my friend. You're not living that way, but I love you still. And so you need to incorporate those things. And so Jesus was reinforcing these things for his disciples and in amongst themselves and therefore for the church. Another thing is that Jesus showed his love for his enemies by forgiving them from the cross. Right, we talk about the cross here and there, right? But Jesus was on the cross and forgave those who had hung him on that cross. And so he loved his enemies. And even before this scripture here, it said that Jesus loved his disciples to the end. And that was what he wanted them to remember most when he was gone. Right, when he had been killed on the cross and he was away for them and then also into the time when he was ascending into heaven. And then they would be left with themselves, the Holy Spirit guiding them. And Jesus very much present in their lives, but not in person like he was when he spoke to them here. Right, so Jesus knows what it's like to have enemies and he loved them. And so he's telling his disciples, I want you to live this way. And so I think that that is a really good way for us to look at this scripture today that says, love your enemies, right? And that's one aspect of it, but love one another as I have loved you. So he has loved them with that kind of love, right? Even though they have done things that were sinful, he loved them still, right? And then also that he was encouraging them to remain in that love with one another. And thereby showing people by that example that they were disciples of his. So it's a very important lesson for us to learn when we're in the church, you know, among disciples, we're disciples of Jesus Christ, to remember that we are going to be showing an example to other people, you know. Yeah. So that is really the emphasis of it. And now I want to share with you a story that I believe really vividly shows this lived out in the life of a woman named Darlene Dibler Rose, and she was a missionary in Indonesia. You know, we have folks from Indonesia and brothers and sisters in our church from Indonesia. She went there during World War II, or just the oncoming of World War II. She lived in Iowa. She went there with her husband, and they actually both spoke Dutch, and they spoke Indonesian, and they spoke English, being from America. But anyway, so they went there to Indonesia, and right before the Japanese invasion of Indonesia. And while they were there, they set up their mission, and then the Japanese army came and took over. Okay, those of you who are familiar with, you know, Asia during that time, you'll know that there were invasions of the Japanese in different areas in Asia, right? And so this was the case for Darlene. Well, sadly, when they came, they separated her husband from her. They took him away and all of the men away. And they were separated. They had just gotten married. They had just gone to Indonesia. And the Japanese took them away to another prison camp. And she went to another prison camp, okay? And they never saw each other again. 25 years old. 25 years old. They went there together to serve the Lord, okay? So what happened? She went into this prison camp, and the leaders of that camp, the commander of that camp, saw something in her that she could communicate well with the people. She spoke Dutch, she spoke Indonesian, she spoke English, and there were prisoners there from all of those language groups. And so she had this position of overseeing the people in the prison camp where they were staying. And she had to give them jobs. She had to make a schedule they had duties every day that they had to do. They noticed that she was a really good leader. And she also taught them a Bible scripture each night and prayed with them. Right? And so this had an impact on those people. She loved those people. Right? She showed that which Jesus told us to do in that situation. She loved those people that she was giving the job to shepherd, you know, by the Japanese. Well, one day, sadly, the Japanese commander who was in charge of the prison camp, his name was Yamaji, probably. Anyway, Commander Yamaji was a cruel, evil man who loved to torture people. He forced people to do horrible things. He had a terrible temper. He would explode, and he even came to the point of killing someone. Right? Because he was so furious with this prisoner, and he worked it out with that way. And so he was a really, really dangerous dude, okay? And he was the commander, and he noticed something about Darlene. He noticed something about Darlene, and he didn't know quite what it was, but he called her into the office one day, and he said, "I want to let you know that war is a very, very hard thing. We're in times of war." And she said, "Yes, I know." And he said, "So what I'm going to tell you is just a part of war. It's a very, very hard thing to take, but I just want to let you know you can make something of your life if you get through with war." And she said, "I know." And then he told her, "I'm sad to tell you that your husband died." It's a year later. This was a year after they were separated. And she had actually heard about that. Through the grapevine, she had already heard about the loss of her husband, and so she was terribly distraught, obviously, in knowing that her new husband and co-partner in mission work had died. I want to read you her response to Mr. Yamaji when he told her that. "Mr. Yamaji, may I have permission to talk to you?" And he nodded and sat down and then motioned for her to take the other chair. "Mr. Yamaji, I don't sorrow like people who have no hope. I want to tell you about someone of whom you may never have heard. I learned about him when I was a little girl in Sunday school back in Boone, Iowa, in America, and his name is Jesus. And he's the Son of Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth. He died for you, Mr. Yamaji, and he puts love in our hearts, even for those who are our enemies. And that's why I don't hate you, Mr. Yamaji. Maybe God brought me to this place and time to tell you he loves you. To me, this is exactly what Jesus is asking us to do. She took care of people under her watch. She loved people. And that became apparent to people like this commander, an evil, cruel person. He saw the love that she had for the other Christians, the missionaries, the people that were grouped together, brought together in that kind of way. And so he knew that she was a disciple of Jesus Christ. And not only that, but her loving those people in that kind of a way opened up a door for her to be able to meet with him in a most terrible time of her life, filled with tragedy of losing her new husband. They had been married a very short time, but it was in that moment she said, I do not have sorrow as the world has sorrows because of my hope in Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you about that person. You may have never heard about this person. The thing that really strikes me in this story, everyone, is this. She told him, he died for you, Mr. Yamaji, and he puts love in our hearts. And so I think what, you know, when we're talking about emulating Jesus and when we want to imitate his, you know, and obey his command, there may be times when we feel like, you know, I just don't have it in me to do that because I feel so lousy about this relationship or whatever it is that's going on in my life. But Jesus puts his love in our hearts. Amen. Jesus puts his love in our hearts. It's not us practicing love on our own like that. He puts love in our hearts so that we can love people who are even cruel and mean and hateful. He changes everything because of that heart of his that desires for people to know him and to come to the truth in that kind of a way. And so that's the sermon for today. That's the sermon for today, to obey the commandment to love one another, knowing that Jesus puts the love of God in our hearts so that we can love even our enemies, so that we can love even those people that we have times of trouble with. And we will have times of trouble like that, but do not give up hope. Do not give up hope. Do not sorrow, as Darlene Rose would say, because our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not like people that don't have hope in situations where we have disagreements or things like that. We are members of the kingdom of God. We are children of the kingdom of God, where hope abounds and where there is always a new beginning. There's always a new restart. There's always a chance to practice what God has given to us because Jesus puts love in our hearts.